As I said last week, today we will continue in 2 Corinthians 4. It's at the end of the verse, the chapter. We'll start with verse 16. And this scripture was brought to me probably 4 or 5 months ago. I don't know if I should admit this in front of you all, but I am a shopper. And one of my spiritual gifts is shopping. And that's not listed. It's listed in the original translation, but they took it out. And my favorite places to shop are TJ Maxx and Marshall's, of course. And so I was in TJ Maxx, and they had this box of scriptures and thoughts, different scriptures for different things. And the very first one I pulled out was this scripture from 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 16. And he says, Paul is writing, and he says, therefore, and I've always been taught that if you see the word therefore, you need to see what it's there for. And so what it's there for is in verse 13, Paul has written, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken with that same spirit of faith. We also believe and therefore speak because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present him to you within his presence. And all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I can remember when I was younger, one of the things that I looked forward to most in heaven, other than seeing the Father, God, and Holy Spirit, and so many of the great characters in the Bible, was that I wouldn't have to say goodbye anymore. You know, I'd graduated from high school, said goodbye to all those friends, and then I went to college and made dear, dear friends. And yet, at the end of some semesters and at the end of every year, I would have to say goodbye to those people, knowing that more than likely, I would not ever see them again. Now, I have seen some of them in different places. And my wife, when we first got married, it seemed like that happened a few times. I would see somebody I knew and hadn't seen before, and she thought I knew everybody. Well, I don't. But I hated saying goodbye to those people. And one of the things that will happen in heaven is that we'll be together forever. Now, it might get to a point where we wish we could say goodbye to some of them. I doubt it, though, because we're all going to be changed. We're all going to be perfect. But I never thought, oh, finally, I'll get a new body. I was a skinny, skinny kid growing up. As a matter of fact, when my first wife and I were married in 1976, we both weighed the same. So we would flip a coin to see who was going to carry who across the threshold. I think she used a double-headed quarter because I carried. But so I never thought about getting old, and that I was in good shape. I never thought about that. However, a few months ago when I read this scripture, therefore, we do not lose heart. It's easy to get discouraged every once in a while, isn't it? There, we have all kinds of reasons for being discouraged, whether it is one of our children that is just not in a relationship with the Lord that we would like for them to be, or our grandchildren. We or might feel far away from God, or we might be sick, we might be diagnosed with something that we never expected. It's easy to become discouraged and lose heart. But Paul said, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. I shared last week that I was 73 years old. There are things that I cannot do that I used to be able to do. Some things I can still do. It just takes a lot longer with some breaks in there of resting in between. But Paul says, even though outwardly we are wasting away, if somebody had told me when I was 30 years old that the worst I would feel every day was waking up and getting out of bed, I would have thought they were crazy. But it is. Oh my goodness. I hurt in places I didn't know I had places. And so, even though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Aren't you glad that your soul, your inner self, is in far better shape than it used to be when you were young? I sure am. I sure am. Because of all the things that I've been through outwardly, inwardly, I know that my God is with me every day, all day. He is with me. His Spirit abides in me. Jesus is my brother. And inwardly, my soul is in so much better shape than when I was young. Even when I was in Bible college, studying the Bible every day, listening to great men of the faith teach the word to me, I'm far better off today, inwardly, than I was then. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And I love Paul's next sentence. For our light and momentary troubles. Sometimes it's hard to think of them as light and momentary, don't we? When we have an illness that hits us and stays with us for a long time, not only as we age are we susceptible to illnesses and things much quicker. It takes us even longer to get over things. I remember when my kids were little, Sarah will be 42 at the end of this month, and Kate will be 39 at the end of the year. I can remember when they were little, they would get sick so fast, and then in a day or two, they were well. And I can remember thinking, no, we can't take them outside. They're sick. And my wife, who was a nurse also, I've married two nurses. Apparently, I only marry nurses. So she would say, no, they're okay now. And I would think, how can that be? If I get sick, I'm not okay in a couple of hours. It's going to be a couple of days at least. That was back then. Now it's a week or two. I know Sonny was sharing last Sunday, his first Sunday back, about how long he had been struggling with that stuff. And that's the truth, isn't it? But Paul used the words, our light and momentary troubles. Now, in just a few chapters over, in chapter 11, Paul talks about the things that he has been through. In verse 24, he says, five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. They had what they called a cat of nine tails that had a handle on it and about foot and a half strips of leather, nine of them. And at the end of those strips of leather, they would have stones or sharp bones. When they hit you with it, it would not only bruise you, but fillet the skin off of you. And they decided, they realized that people were dying at the end of 40 lashes. It was only supposed to be a punishment, not an execution. So they cut it back one to 39. I remember when I was growing up, my mom, when she whipped us, would hit us 10 times. I don't care if you hadn't made your bed or you'd killed the next door neighbor. It was 10 times, no matter what. And so you just got used to counting. Then I found out that my dad,
you a couple of times,
if you would kind of start crying, he would stop. Let me tell you something, that is important information when you got whipped as often as we did. So I thought, I've got to share this news with my little brothers. So I went in and I said, guys, listen, you know, mom hits us 10 times every time. Yeah, we know. But dad will stop if you kind of start crying. Boy, their eyes lit up. You could see them putting that in the memory bank. And the next time one of them got whipped by my dad, he started crying before my dad ever hit him, which drove my dad crazy. He just about beat him to death. And Greg came in sobbing. You said you'd stop hitting us when we started crying. And I'm like, well, you gotta let him hit you a couple of times. You didn't tell us that. And so sometimes very important news, you gotta make sure you give all of it. But Paul said, five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. They had birch branches that they would beat you with. and a citizen of Rome. That was safe for those who were not Roman citizens. Paul was a Roman citizen, and three times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned three times. I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the city, in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. Our light and momentary troubles. Now, why would Paul refer to those times as light and momentary troubles? Because the next sentence says, sorry, I lost my place. The next sentence says, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. My reasons for looking forward to heaven now are different than they were 50 years ago, even 10 years ago. To think that we will have bodies that will never get old, that will never get tired, that will never get sick. Oh, I can't wait. I can hardly wait. An eternal glory forever and ever. I want you to close your eyes right now and think of the most beautiful place that you have ever been or ever seen. Maybe it was a picture of something. Maybe you have been to a tropical island. I got to go to Hawaii one time, and I remember when we stepped off the plane in Honolulu, the places, the hallways, the entryways that you walk through from your gate to get your luggage were all open air. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, what did they do when it... We were there in December. And I remember seeing plants that were huge. Plants that we'd see over here that the leaves might be this big, but they were this big over there. And it was one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. Whatever your place is that you have seen in your mind's eye is going to look like a garbage dump because of what God has prepared for us forever and ever. So, we fix our eyes not on what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. My little Camry that I drove down here the last two Sundays has just a little over 219,000 miles on it. It is 13 years old, and I have Gorilla tape holding one of the rear quarter panels on. There's a lot wrong, but the thing that I have noticed, especially the last two Sundays driving down here, when the sun is shining through that windshield, there are about a 1,000 little chips in that windshield, and they look like diamonds. I wish they weren't there so I could see. It is so easy to get caught up in looking at what is this far from us than what is far away. I got glasses in the fourth grade. I was 10 years old. My mom took me to the eye doctor, and my vision had gone from good to bad really quick, but not so quick that I'd really noticed it. And I remember my eye doctor, his name was Dr. Thompson, said, he's nearsighted. He said, you can see up close, but you can't see far away clearly. I thought, well, duh. Isn't that, can you imagine your hearing being bad? You can't hear somebody right here, but you can hear somebody across the room. That just doesn't make sense. So I could see something up close, but not. He said, no, there are some people who are farsighted. They can see far away, but they can't see up close. And I thought, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Until I turned 40 or so and had to get reading glasses or bifocals. But I remember walking outside his building and looking around and thinking, oh my goodness, there are leaves on trees. There are blades of grass. There are bricks in buildings. And I loved it. And my mom started crying. I said, Mom, why are you crying? I didn't know your eyes were that bad. Well, they're not now that I've got these glasses. And, you know, I was 10, so that was 63 years ago. So the only kind of glasses they had were the kind of glasses that Clark Kent wore, you know, those Superman glasses that kept anybody from recognizing him. But I could see far away, and it was, what a great blessing. We need to remember that we need to fix our eyes future to things that right now we can't really even see. I don't know what heaven's going to look like. I don't know what kind of house I'm going to live in. There's a song that says, I have a mansion just over the hilltop. I don't know if I'm going to have a mansion. I don't need a mansion. Tammy and I live in a lovely house that is so beautifully decorated. And, you know, what I found out, that all I need in a house is a place for my recliner and a garage to park my cars in, and a bed to sleep in. That could be, if I ever was a bachelor, that's what you'd see if you ever came to my house. Go ahead and have a seat. Where? You're sitting in the recliner. And I'm not going to get up and give it to you. I'll tell you that. I remember one time my mom and my sisters drove from Oklahoma to see me, and my mom made a beeline and sat in my recliner. It was all I could do not to spank her 10 times and have her. But we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. Someday this is all going to be gone. And what we have waiting for us far outweighs our light and momentary troubles. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we have so much to be thankful for. the great love that you have for us, the way that you continually bless us. There are so many things that you have done for us. But when Jesus told his disciples, "In my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you," we long to be with you. We are glad to be here for as long as we are needed. But what awaits us, we can hardly wait to see. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me and sing, "There's Room at the Cross for You"?
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Our closing song, "Sweet By and By."
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Though the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet,
grab your phone and go with me.
By and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
In the sweet,
by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore.